Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Andrew Stanton is on this episode of Screenwriting Life, yeah?
Yeah, Andrew Stanton's on this episode of Screenwriting Life, and he talks about the writing process of Pixar, and says how it was really inspired by Steve Jobs. And he was saying how when they write a script, it's more like designing a piece of technology or gadget than a storyline. Because when you design a gadget, you look at what works with a piece of technology, and then you just remove it and just take it away, just chuck it away and just keep the bits that do work. Whereas usually with script writing, you go in one, you don't actually, you have your beginning, middle and end, and you just go in one direction with it. And you've got the story and you just streamline that story. But with the Pixar concept, she was saying they would just take small specific elements and just get rid of them really, really quickly. So, for instance, I think like Coco, you were talking about that. The location for that, they changed several times. And the script writers were looking at each other thinking, the people they got on board to actually write it, they're thinking to themselves, well, you know, how can you just get rid of the location and set it somewhere brand new? But they've just radically changed things. And they said it was a bit like coming up with an iPod or something, whereby they would bin ideas really, really quickly.
So why would they bin them? Because they'd come up with another idea and it doesn't fit the direction they're going in.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. They would work out what would work and then just... the very basic way of me describing it was they were really unprecious about binning things to an alarming degree. So the lady who hosts this podcast, Screenwriting Life, she'd come in. She hadn't written with Pixar before, and she was doing Inside Out. And during their brain trust meetings, when they come together as screenwriters, she was just shocked by how much they just bin ideas. And she was saying, if you came up with a piece of technology, like she was talking about the iPod or the iPhone, if the buttons didn't look good, you would just bin them. You know, if the micro parts of the microchip didn't look good, you just bin it and get something else to replace it. But she said, usually with script writing, you wouldn't bin things that quickly.
Because ideas are too precious. You feel like won't be one around
also,
the corner.
It's a lot of hard work, she's saying. If you just get rid of, if you say, we don't need the mum or the dad, it's like, well, what happens to the kitchen scenes now? What happens to that family vacation scene? It's like, it doesn't matter. She gave examples where, they would just get rid of whole scenes. They would work out what would work. The only good thing about that script is that everyone's vampires. So we're just going to focus on the vampire theme and then just get rid of the whole family drama in the background, because the only thing people are connecting to in the room is the vampire theme. And it was just brutal, the amount they would cut things out and just chuck it away. And she said a rewrite with Pixar isn't a rewrite, it's a restart. She kept saying that as well. You rarely just tinkered with it and noodled it. She used the word noodle. You know, rewrite the odd bit of dialogue, that. You'd always start from scratch every
proper
time.
Proper surgery.
Yes. Once again, like if you were creating a piece of technology. I don't know if that technology metaphor works, but when she described it, she said that in Pixar, you don't write a script, you build a script. And she said the Steve Jobs legacy was really connected to that.
I mean, I when I watched Coco, the first 8 minutes, like I said, so many plates. There's got so many plates spinning. And it's so impressive. Slick.
Very slick.
Oh, my God. It's so slick. And it's so beautiful. And, yeah, after about 8 minutes, I was like, nah, I'm going to give up. I'm never, ever, 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 ever. You okay?
No, I'm literally just thinking, as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, I know what you mean.
Never going to be able to write that. Never.
You just think to yourself, this is where I belong, on the other side of the screen, eating the popcorn. I just have not got the brain capacity to join in with that game.
Do you know what I did yesterday? I subscribed to Disney Plus.
Oh, really?
And okay, I had that's interesting. Because I just want to watch all the... just all those films.
Oh yeah, you got all of them there, haven't you?
Well, I've never even thought about Disney Plus. I subscribed to it, went in there, and just went, oh my God, it's like a sweet shop.
Oh, endless stuff. What's the first stuff do you think you'll watch? What grabbed your eye?
Well, I watched Snow White yesterday.
Oh, straight to the classics then. Yeah. Not messing around with any of the modern rubbish.
It's straight to the classics. And we're going to watch a Pixar tonight, and I don't think I've seen Ratatouille. So we're going to watch Ratatouille.
Oh, that's brilliant. Ratatouille.
Or Luca. Is it Luca?
Oh, I haven't seen Luca. That's the underwater one.
Yeah. Has Disney got all the Pixars on there?
Basically, Disney, Bob Iger, who was the CEO before the guys in charge now, the thing he did for Disney was that he bought loads of other brands into the Disney home. So he bought Pixar, Lucasfilm and Marvel, because originally Disney had
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Iger is what has made Disney this big conglomerate juggernaut now.
I'm looking up Bob Iger.
Because he was realizing that Disney were just surviving off old animation films.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to create anything new. And he said that to survive in the
Why weren't they?
In the sense that, what was he? I'll tell you what. He was doing things like, what's that one, Mars? We spoke about it, I think, about a week ago. Andrew Stanton directed it, the guy.
I know. It was a bit of a flop, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And from that, Bob Iger realized that if it's not well-known brand, it's not well-known IP, it's just 10 times harder to actually get an audience in.
Can I say, David, I'm looking at Bob Iger now. He's 71. Fucking hell, he's in good nick.
Oh, yeah, the man spends 2 hours on a treadmill.
Does he?
First thing in the morning, absolutely.
Does he really? He
gets up on a treadmill.
Well, doesn't it fucking show? Oh, pardon my French.
He's got a chest like like John Wayne in his peak.
Do you know that he spends 2 hours on?
Absolutely, he can't be spoken to. I did his masterclass. I've done the Bob Iger masterclass. I signed
did
up.
Did you?
For it. Yeah, yeah, big time. I'm quite taken by the. Well, I'm not that impressed. He comes over when he actually does his masterclass. He comes over slightly boring, you know, bit of a monotone voice type of thing, and
steady because he might hear this.
I know, it's a bit... God, yeah, I don't want to burn any bridges with Bob Iger.
Well, I haven't. I've built bridges because I've just said he looks fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's where you're going places.
Bob Iger is an American businessman who served as the chief executive officer of the Walt Disney Company between 2005 and 2020.
I tell you someone else interesting, though. Before Bob Iger, it was Michael Eisner. E-I-S-N-E-R. He now owns Portsmouth Football Club.
Does he?
Yes. And he was the owner of Disney.
He's 80 and he looks in good nick.
Oh, absolutely. He's completely in good nick. He's amazing. He was in charge of Paramount for a while and he greenlit all those big 80s films like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Then he took over Disney, and he's well known for being utterly ruthless.
Is
incredibly
he?
Ruthless, yeah. He wasn't into treadmills for 2 hours in the morning. He was a kung fu expert. And he literally would have meetings with all his executives.
Yeah.
And he would do kung fu demonstrations before the meetings. This is absolute fact. This is in his autobiography. So he writes about it like it's a good thing. You know, this is like stuff
don't
to share
burn
with
bridges.
You.
Don't burn bridges no, again.
I just love burning bridges.
Hang on,
I?
You're right near Portsmouth.
Oh, that's why. He's always around Portsmouth. And
is
I
he?
Want to meet him. Yeah, absolutely. His son is...
So he's hands-on with Portsmouth.
He's hands-on. His son's always down helping to run the football club. And it's like a project, like a hobby for him. And the guy used to run Disney now runs the football club down the road from me.
Which of his sons? Is it Breck or Eric?
It's Breck. Simple as that, because they talk about him a lot in the where I work. They always mention him. He's always around and he helps out and very hands on. They own it. But Ryan Reynolds owns a football.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Yeah, who does Ryan Reynolds?
And that was inspired by Michael Eisner buying Portsmouth Football Club.
Wrexham.
Right, there you go. And he's with somebody else, isn't he? He's co-owned it with somebody else. Someone else is big. It's almost like a little project. For us, the idea of owning a football club's insane. It's like fantasy football come to life. For them, it's like chasing Pokemons.
Rob McElhenney? Actor Rob McElhenney?
Rob McElhenney, right, okay. He rings a bell. I'm sure if we Googled him, we'd know. But yeah, Michael Eisner. Michael Eisner was the Lion King Beauty and the Beast era. Which did well. He sort of injected new life into the sort of cell animation Disney period. But Baker,
is that around the same time as Tarzan?
Yes, it was. Tarzan was a big flop, wasn't it? They forget about
was
Tarzan.
It? I thought
yeah,
it was
Tarzan the movie.
I thought it was amazing, Tarzan.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I remember seeing it in the cinema.
Oh, I can watch that. Well, Phil Collins singing.
Yes, it was Phil Collins. They tried to take the Lion King format, didn't they? Like a big kind of classic pop rock ballad.
Oh.
With well-known stars doing the voices.
Phil Collins.
Tarzan's been completely forgotten about. You can tell instead of Elton John, you've got Phil Collins. Lots of drum solos as he's going between vines.
I genuinely thought it was a great
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Pocahontas didn't do very well either. It's got that Genesis beat to it.
It has.
I guess it hasn't quite... Is that from Tarzan, the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's got that kind of timeless Disney feel to it. Do you know what I mean? Like Elton John's, you know, that big, more kind of operatic voice hammering out the circle of life.
Are you burning bridges with Phil Collins now?
I am, once again. I don't think I'll ever be allowed into the House of the Mouse with that kind of attitude. You can see why I've stayed in Sussex. I've never quite ventured into LA.
Well, I really love Tarzan.
I remember watching it, and I remember enjoying it. It must be a nightmare spending years on these films. It's like, you know, we've got Phil involved, we've got a cracking script, no one's turned up. Why?
Tarzan, 1999. What? I thought it was... I thought it was the early 90s.
1999. Do you know, a lot of people say 1999 is the best year of cinema ever. Because you've got The Matrix, you've got Fight Club. There's loads of other films that came out in 1999. I've got a book here dedicated to 1999. There's a book that is just purely about the year 1999.
How 1999 blew up the big screen. Best
no
movie ever. Movie year ever. Oh.
So you've got Blair Witch, you've got Election, you've got Sixth Sense, you've got Being John Malkovich, Truman Show was 98, but you had Iron Giant. Oh, and American Beauty. All of them came out that one year, 1999. And they say it's because it was pre-millennium angst. That kind of fear of just going into the new millennium and questioning reality and capitalism and our cultural system. And it brought back that kind of 70s nihilism and angst and things in that vibe.
David, I'm loving doing this podcast with you.
Oh, God, loving it. I forgot all about Tarzan. I literally forgot about Tarzan. I remember the trailer for Tarzan, they really looked into the drawing of the cells. you actually saw the artist, didn't you? And you saw Tarzan's hair being drawn and all that. It's like, oh, okay, this is going to be top-notch stuff. This is going to be an Oscar winner. And it just sort of came and went.
I didn't know it came and went. It absolutely stayed in my mind.
I think 1999...
Box office, $448 million. So it did all right.
Yeah, God, that's all right. You would have got your money back and then I mean, they're always greedy.
88-minute running time.
God, that's short, isn't it? 88. I mean, you always remember the credits at the end of that. No, I think it makes sense because Lion King was early to mid-90s, wasn't it? And then you had Pocahontas, and I think Tarzan would have been late 90s. That would have made sense.
88-minute running time. Sorry. That's
not at all. Yeah, 88 minutes. And when you think of Disney film, the credits go on forever. So you're probably looking at like 83, 84 minutes, the actual film.
Oh, I wonder if that was because they weren't happy with...
Yeah, they may have edited things out.
Yes, so they just kept chopping away at it.
Oh, and the other classic thing is... producers always want the actual films to be shorter and shorter because you can get in more showings a day. So when you think about it, Titanic, that's incredible that made a bit, you know, it's still like one of the highest grossing films.
David,
ever.
I watched it yesterday.
Oh, what's it like in repeat viewing?
I love it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, I didn't watch it. I skimmed it, but I know that inside out Titanic.
It does the job, doesn't it? It does what it says. In the
I think it's great. I think the first half hour is tedious with the old elderly lady.
They're a watchable couple and all that. Yeah, I know that's a bit tedious and a bit sort of saccharine-y. But the ending's great, yeah.
If you met a lady called Saccharine, how would you, and you quite liked her, how would you approach her? What would you say to her? She was an Italian lady called Elizabeth Saccharine.
I could just imagine, you know, those warm hazel eyes. I've already got a picture of her in my head. Do you know what I mean?
She's lovely, isn't she?
Oh, she's an absolute joy.
How would you say Elizabeth Saccharine to get her attention? How would you say her name?
Oh, God, I think I put an accent in there.
Go on, let's hear it.
Something like that.
How would you say it as a gentleman?
Elizabeth Saccharine. I would just add a bit more of an element to it.
Okay.
I wouldn't just go saccharine.
No.
Like I'm saying, you've got any saccharines in the Tesco aisle.
Yeah.
It'd be like Saccharine, something like that. You know, Elizabeth Saccharine.
Are you Elizabeth Saccharine?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's nice.
David Edwards Movie News.
Movie news for this week. Elizabeth Saccharine is quite a name, isn't it? It really enticed me there. Funny if she existed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, movie news this week. Definitely an interesting one is Kathleen Kennedy, who's in charge of Lucasfilms, was interviewed in The Hollywood Reporter. And Disney and Marvel, back to Disney again, Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, they're putting loads of money into new technology to bring celebrities back to life and also to de-age movie stars, which they've started to do already. Like Mark Hamill appears in the Mandalorian TV series as like young Luke Skywalker from the 80s. But one thing they've literally just done is they've got permission from Stan Lee's estate. So Stan Lee can appear in cameos in Marvel movies, even though he's passed away. So that they're putting money into that. And also there was a young Solo film that came out, I'm sure you remember, about 5 years ago, and it was a massive dud at the box office. And for the first time she's spoken about that, because she produces all the Star Wars films, and she said that she realizes that people don't want to see actors taking on the roles of these classic characters. So they're gonna pump loads of money into, because they've started doing this.
Well, as in Ewan McGregor playing Obi-Wan, that.
Yeah, I think people are okay with that because he started it with Phantom Menace. So it was all introduced. I know, I mean, not those films are great particularly, but it was introduced early. But the idea now is someone else taking on Han Solo's role, you know, several decades afterwards, people just, or the idea of a proper young Luke Skywalker, you know, if, I mean, in the Obi-Wan TV show, he's like 10. So it's, and he's only from a distance you see him. Do you know what I mean?
So so if they were to do a young Solo now, what would be their plans for it?
How oh, definitely de-aging technology. She said that. She's admitted that. So you'd have Han Solo's Harrison Ford's face, sorry, mapped over, which people have managed to do on YouTube. So people that have actually got very basic, what do they call
it? Hang on a minute. Who's playing Han Solo and whose face is being mapped on it?
In the actual Solo movie, it's Ehan Eckhart.
But who will be? So you get a regular actor, so you get an actor in, and then yes. You will de-age Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford, is that his name? Sounds
yeah, weird. Harrison Ford from another person's face. So, I mean, that they didn't do that. They got an actor in for Solo, and she said that's why it was a
yeah,
dip.
Yeah, but that's office. What they'll do. For, and what about when Harrison Ford passes away, heaven forbid?
Well, it'd be like Stan Lee, in the sense that Stan Lee's passed away, but he'll still be appearing in cameos in Marvel movies.
So they'll just take a young Harrison Ford from other movies.
And then just insert it, or on someone's face. Well, the other thing is...
gee, I hate this.
Harrison Ford, there's Let loads of go. Images of Harrison Ford's filming Indiana Jones 5, but there's not one image of Harrison Ford filming Indiana Jones 5 on location around Britain without motion captured dots on his face, because he's going to be de-aged for the majority of the film. And the problem with that is, like The Irishman, wasn't it, where Robert De Niro was de-aged for The Irishman?
Isn't that all you're thinking about when you're looking at it now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because the body doesn't quite move.
Let's write some new stories with new characters.
Oh, absolutely agree. But Bob Iger, see, that's the negative thing about Bob Iger, isn't it? Whereby he bought all these brands, all this IP. So he bought Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and that turned Disney into this massive conglomerate. So it's, you know, the most powerful corporation going. It's not corporations, it's conglomerate, family corporations. But because of that, we're living in a nostalgia bubble, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? It's not allowing us to push forward into new things. So yeah, he's created this amazing enterprise, but you're stuck in your nostalgia dreams. There's no room for creativity there. You're quite right. You're totally right.
Well, thank you for this week's movie news, David.
Oh, goodness me, thank you for listening, for crying out loud. Thanks for sharing in the conversation.
David Edwards Movie Review.
So this week's movie review is, we used the old random film generator and we came up with three films, and you went for, well, you didn't let went for, you picked Lost Highway.
Absolutely, with David Lynch. You are quite
take
right.
It away, your review of Lost Highway by David Lynch.
Absolutely. So David Lynch, obviously very surreal experimental filmmaker, and if you're a proper film fan, if you're a proper cineast film fan, you know, you're into David Lynch. And,
can I read something here, David?
Oh yeah, go for it.
Someone's left a message. They basically said, I cannot believe David hasn't seen Lost Highway. They were shocked.
I know. They are quite right. They are quite, well, that's what I was going to say about David Lynch. He is basically, he separates the men from the boys, doesn't he? You know, if you're a proper film fan, you're into Lynch. And it's got to be said, I do trip up with David Lynch. Do you know what I mean? I do have difficulties with him. I find like the first 20 minutes, it's like, oh, I can get into this. I'm liking the music. It, you know, it's all a bit surreal and out there. And the films, well, they call it surrealism cinema, don't they? It's more about symbology. It's like a dream state, basically.
David, do you like your pizzas?
I love my pizzas. I like them in triangles.
Tell you, you don't want some wrap filled with, I don't know, exotic vegetables. And you just want a fucking pizza.
I mean, I don't know what a David Lynch meal would be. It would just be like a complete mess, wouldn't
it? Well,
it'd
be a wrap filled with spiders, wouldn't it? And
totally crunching on their legs. You know, getting a spider's body getting stuck in your throat, having to, like, you know, get rid of it with a pint of milk. It'd be a disaster.
The milk wouldn't be milk. What would it be?
No, it would turn into, it'd be like... sausage fat, which has happened to me in the past, but I thought it was juice, so I grabbed it from a kitchen service and drank it. It was sausage fat. Something absolutely horrific. It'd be painful.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But you'd learn something ironic at the end. There'd be some kind of ironic message about society at the end of it for you to sort of, like, you know, chew over at the end of the day.
So what's Lost Highway about?
Lost Highway, they're quite right. I should have seen it. It's the peak of Lynch power at this point, because it's late 90s. He's done a Razorhead, Elephant Man, and Wild at Heart. Lost Highway stars Bill Pullman, Rosanna Arquette. They're living in L.A., he is a saxophone player in the evenings, and he's married to Rosanna Arquette, and she is a hell of a head-turning blonde bombshell. And you can tell that
like your good self.
Sorry, what? I aspire to that Rosanna Arquette factor.
Yeah,
definitely. That's what I get up in the morning, and I fail each day, but that's what I'm working towards. And you can tell that he doesn't feel he's quite good enough for her. So there's an anxiety there. He wants to live that rock and roll LA saxophone lifestyle and have the blonde girlfriend. And he has managed it. He's married her, for crying out loud. But there's a scene where he plays saxophone late at night, and he just goes crazy with his sax. He goes home and he makes a love to Rosanna Arquette. But something goes wrong. I think maybe he ends the activity too early, or he doesn't complete the activity of love too early. And then there's a slow-mo shot of her hand just very patronizingly patting him on the back, as to say, oh, don't worry, type of thing. You can play the sax, but you can't play me. It's not the end of the world. We can't have everything. And then after that, everything goes drastically downhill, and they start getting videotapes through their letterbox in an envelope. And the videotapes become more and more bizarre. You know, someone's filming the outside of their house. They put in another videotape.
So they've got some kind of stalker, have they?
Absolute stalker. And then a bizarre person called the Mystery Man keeps turning up and talking to him at parties and other social events. And it becomes more and more dreamlike. And not that this is a massive spoiler, because it carries on a lot more from this, and you get this information in a trailer. In one of the videotapes, he sees Rosanna Arquette murdered in bed. Then suddenly blanks out, wakes up, and he's surrounded by detectives punching him in the face, saying, you murdered your wife. Then he goes into prison, and he's going to go on the electric chair. The next morning, he wakes up, and he's a different man. There's a different actor.
Okay, let's
I was completely confused.
Let's hear a clip from The Lost Highway.
Go.
We've met before, haven't we?
I don't think so. Where was it you think we met?
At your house, don't you remember?
No, I don't. Are you sure?
Of course. As a matter of fact, I'm there right now.
What do you mean, you're where right now?
At your house. That's fucking crazy, man.
So, did you enjoy the film?
I would say, like any Lynch film, the first 20 minutes, I'm grabbed in by the atmosphere, the setting, and then it just becomes a gobbledygook, as you say, wrap of symbolism. And as you say, I'm a pizza man. I like my... I'm Jurassic Park. I like my cook boundaries. I know the ingredients. Yeah. You know, you've got a T-Rex, a pterodactyl, Sam Neill, and you know what you're dealing with. I aspire to Lynch. I even did a Lynch masterclass this week to try and get my head around it.
Did you?
Yeah, you can sign up for it. It's actually a few quid to do. And he went into the script writing of how he writes his script. I actually did two. I did Jodie Foster, and then I did Lynch. And Jodie Foster's very much about structure, little index cards, you know, making sure every character's got a through line. Then you do David Lynch's masterclass. He doesn't even talk about index cards. He just talks about transcendental meditation the entire time. And he just draws...
I bet you got annoyed with that.
I always bet you were like,
oh, sod this. What
That's
a waste
how I end
of money.
It.
Yeah.
I start off like an aspiring Russell Brand and I end up like an annoyed Jeremy
Clarkson. Russell Brand?
Not Russell Brand. If Russell Brand is the man who was a heroin addict, then was a stand-up comedian and now is a meditator. Is that him?
Mm, yeah, I see That's what you mean. Okay.
I aspire to that, you know, that kind of new ageness. And then at the end, I'm just a disgruntled Homer Simpson. Just like, what's this about?
Right.
It didn't even make sense. He just drew pictures of funnels going into heads and going into more and more layers. And then he said to you, how do you meditate? It's like, right, okay, now you're going to tell me how I can meditate and then I can do my eraser head and become relevant in society and become an important person. And then he says, you've got to get yourself a meditation teacher. And it's like, oh, right, okay, so it's not something I can do in my lounge free of charge.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like...
Did you subscribe to this because you wanted to learn how to write a decent movie?
Oh, bloody right.
I just want to get that swear. Gold. Please don't swear on the podcast.
Absolutely, get rid of that. Burning bridges once again with everyone, not just Disney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want that Willy Wonka golden ticket. Do you know what I mean? Just sort of...
So, Lost Highway, you enjoyed the first bit and then it felt like you wanted something a little bit more solid that you get your teeth into rather than a...
I mean, you know, could you imagine watching a James Bond film and Bond waking up the next morning after an evening in the casino and it's not Daniel Craig anymore? They've got someone else involved. I don't know, they've brought back Timothy Dalton. Totally confused. You'd rightly want your money back. But with this, I'm seen as an ignoramus. Do you know what I mean? So you feel guilty, bizarrely. You feel guilty.
Right.
After being changed halfway through. So, you know, I'm confused and I feel bad about myself.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So I definitely say, still say 3 out of 5. It's still well edited.
Out of 5 choco ices, you give it?
3. 3. I'd take 3 choco ices out of the fridge and I'd pass them over.
To who?
I don't know, actually. That's a very good point. To the general public.
To me.
To me. One to you and 2 children.
Okay, so Lost Highway by David Lynch. 3 out of 5 chalk ices from David.
3 out of 5 chalk ices.
A lot of Davids on this podcast.
There is a lot of Davids, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, David.
But not a problem.
David Edwards' movie tip.
So this week's movie tip from you. What's your tip for this week?
Definitely my tip for this week. I mean, one thing I'd say very briefly, I saw Top Gun 2 in the cinema very recently, Top Gun Maverick. That's definitely worth checking out. Proper nostalgia fest, but it's not just nostalgia. It's also a good plot and drama. They've done really well with that.
Yeah.
Definitely got really impressive aerial acrobats, whatever that stuff's called they do in the sky. Very impressed. Well-written script. The third act has got elements there you don't expect. Great scenes with Al Kilmer.
So is your movie tip Top Gun?
It's not. It's not. Sorry, that's me sort of like, here we go, movie tip. Here's your movie tip. Top Gun 2, that's a lazy man's.
Yeah.
You're going to hear that everywhere, Top Gun 2. Let's not with that. Yeah. Here's a good movie tip. Okay, The Northman. Now, The Northman came out a month ago in cinemas.
That's Focus Features. That's who Brian and Charles.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's who Brian and Charles were. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Focus Features, same people as Brian and Charles. Doesn't surprise me at all that, because Northman, obviously Focus Features is well known for more kind of experimental, a bit more quirky style of filmmaking. Well, do you know what I mean? They meet the pizza eaters, to use that metaphor with me, halfway. It's not a rat.
So it's basically Focus Features like the stuffed crust of the pizza world.
Absolutely. They are totally the stuffed crust. What they are is, do you know when you go to Pizza Hut, you can get it in as a square, not a circle.
So yeah, exactly.
It's still in sections. I'm not confused.
No, you know what you're dealing with. It's just like, it's a bit different.
Totally. And I like that. You know, the same but different. I mean, David Lynch, you're like eating off the floor. Do you know what I mean?
We've established that. It's a rat filled with spiders.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a rat filled with spiders crunching on their legs. Pardon?
It's a what?
It's a rat filled with spiders. It's filled with spiders, not spilled. Even odder. I mean, that is Lynch, isn't it? It's spilled with spiders.
So your Northman, your tip is the Northman.
It's directed by Robert Eggers, very much an auteur director of his own unique style. He directed The Witch. Then he directed The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson and William Dafoe. And now The Northman. Now, it's crazy because The Northman, we started off with Bill Iger, the whole idea that, you know, cinema is all about IP, brands, things in that vein. Northman is not a brand at all. It's a Viking mythology action film. But it's very eccentric. It's very experimental in places.
Are they brand new writers on The Northman? You know?
No, they're not. Robert Eggers wrote it, but also he wrote it with someone who's a poet called Sion. And you get the idea that it's got poetry elements in the dialogue. So maybe Sion is new to film writing, but it costs $90 million.
Fuck, box office 67.
Oh, it's going to be it's crazy that anyone would put that amount of money on that horse. Don't get me wrong, I loved it.
Why is no one watching it? Well, they are, but why?
Bob Iger element in the sense that it's the example that cinema's not dead. Everyone says cinema's dead, but cinema's morphing into a different beast, whereby people only want to go to the cinema for that for an event, an experience type of thing, and it's usually they'll only make the actual trek to see something like a franchise, a well-known name, you know, like a James Bond or a Top Gun, you know. And The Northman means nothing to nobody, and also, the dialogue is very sort of the period. It's very historically accurate. There's some very bizarre elements. It's basically a rites of passage, hero's journey, Viking action movie. But it's very surreal at times. So you've got Ethan Hunt there with his young son. The young son grows up.
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, not Hunt. Ethan Hunt is is Tom Cruise's character in Mission Impossible.
I really like Ethan Hawke.
Oh, Ethan Hawke's great as a dad at the beginning.
He's amazing like in Boyhood.
In Lion King, basically, a sort of like, you know, the king passing it on.
Yeah.
The son. But it's very surreal. They walk to a temple together because he's going to teach him about becoming a king. You think, well, that's fine. Then out of the blue, the son and the dad go on all fours and become dogs and start yapping at each other. And, like, you know, Ethan Hawke at one point has got a scratch behind his ear. He becomes a proper dog. And then they both go to a bowl and eat together, like a couple of terriers. And the bowl holds some kind of hallucinogenic drug. And then it just goes into a bizarre Jim Morrison door sequence. And William Dafoe turns up with joined eyebrows, like it's a caterpillar hovering above his eyes. Really telling this kid about his future, what he needs to do to become a man. And you just think, that's not for a mainstream audience. That's completely nuts.
Mm.
But the action is balls to the walls, Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff.
And you liked it?
I definitely liked it.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic. So The Northman.
The Northman.
Is this week's movie tip.
You will not go wrong with The Northman. Great stuff. Absolutely. I don't know if I would put $90 million into it.
Okay.
Don't want to burn my bridges once again.
No.
Bridges are important. You've got to walk across them. If not, you become a very lonely man on your own. It's just you and what was that bull that Tom Hanks had, Wilson, left on the desert island on your own.
David Edwards, random film generator.
Right, so this week's random film generator. This is the film that you're going to be watching
This weekend, lovely stuff.
So I'm going to type in the old random film generator. How was it sitting down watching Lost Highway? Was it exciting? Did it feel like homework?
Not at all. At the end, it's always, I mean, with the world of the internet, it's always fascinating because, do you know what? It is interesting. If I'd watched that back in the 90s on a video, I'd have felt very lonely and confused. But now you've got your uncle Google to type into, haven't you? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I don't know why I call Google an uncle, but, you know, you've got that close friend called the internet. That's what I mean. And you can do lots of research afterwards and it's explained to you.
Yeah.
So I guess you go down the David Lynch rabbit hole afterwards. So it did become fun, definitely. But I imagine if I'd gone to Blockbusters and got that in the 90s without the internet, or the internet around the 90s, but in a very early fashion, I'd have been left very confused. I'd have put that video through the letterbox at the end thinking, well, what was that about?
So we pick three films. And then I ask you to choose either A, B, or C, and that's the film you'll be taking. Right, so which genre, please, for the first one?
Science fiction.
Science fiction. And the year, which decade?
New millennium, the noughties.
And let's generate the film.
Let's have a look. What have we got?
And the film, one of the three films that you have to choose, is Underworld Rise of the Lycans.
Right, okay, so that's one of the sequels of the Underworld franchise. Okay. With Kate Beckinsale, is that right?
I guess so.
I think that was directed by a husband, wasn't it, who went on to direct the Total Recall remake.
Okay, the second film.
Yeah. Wait,
genre, please. Thriller, war, western, music, horror. In fact, can I pick the genre this time?
You go for it, absolutely.
Okay, Western. Western.
Let's go for it.
And I'm going to pick the 1980s.
Lovely, that's a nice touch.
And it says generate Western from the 1980s. And that Western is, tell me if you've seen it, Silverado.
No, I haven't. Is that Lawrence Kasdan who directed that? That's the guy who directed... Is that Lawrence Kasdan or is it Kevin Reynolds who did Waterworld? I think it's Kevin Reynolds who did Waterworld, isn't it? Who directed Silverado. That's a classic one. Is Kevin Costner in that?
Kevin Kline, Kevin Costner, Danny Glover, Scott Glenn, Rosanna Arquette, Brian Dennehy. It's got some names in it.
It has. I'd be up for seeing this. And who directed it? Is it Kevin Reynolds?
Who directed it?
Was it Lawrence Kasdan?
Lawrence Kasdan.
Oh, it was Lawrence Kasdan. There you go. That's the guy who wrote Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, The Big Chill, Body Heat, Bodyguard, Force Awakens, Raiders of the Lost Ark, co-wrote. Bloody hell. That's Silverado. That's got to be decent.
That would be very decent. I'd be up for checking that out.
And, okay, so the random generator. If you don't mind, I'm going to pick a genre.
Go for it.
Mystery.
Lovely.
From the 1990s.
That would be interesting, definitely. What would that be?
Okay, tell me if you've seen it. Presumed Innocent.
Do you know what? That's a Harrison Ford film that I've never watched.
Really?
That is very interesting, isn't it? Because he had his cropped short hair at the time.
Yes.
I remember my parents watching on video, and me, I think I saw the opening, and it was way too adult for me.
Oh, but you're quite excited if that comes up.
Oh, I would be very, very interested, because that was him trying to take his career in a new direction in the 80s. Basically, it's like The Fugitive, isn't it? Whereby I think he's accused of murdering his wife, but there's no running. He's not being chased by Tommy Lee Jones leaping out of storm drains. It's just him sat in a courtroom, basically being shouted at. I remember as a kid sat there thinking, oh, right, okay, Indiana Jones, let's get on with that. And me just thinking, what is this about?
Okay, so those are your three films. Wonderful. All I need you to do now is choose either... I've shuffled them around. I just need you to choose either A, B, or C. And this will be the film you will watch in the upcoming week and review next week. A,
wonderful.
B, or C.
B.
Silverado.
What? Oh. Get the pizza in the album. I tell you what, sorted out.
I reckon you're gonna love that movie.
I'll definitely love it. It constantly pops up a lot in like film books and like interviews and things. Like, I think it was Kevin Costner's first big role. Not big role. I think he's like a co-star. But I think he pops up in the background. But Lawrence Kasdan's a big deal. Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing his stuff.
That's. Do you know what? I wouldn't mind watching that. I look forward to hearing what you've...
Good.
David, we've come to the end of the podcast. I absolutely adore doing this podcast.
Oh, I do massively. No, thank you very much. I've been given homework. It's not homework. It's work, you know, it's stuff to view. Do you know what I mean? I've been looking forward to it.
John Cleese is in it. Jeff Goldblum.
John Cleese is in it?
Yeah.
Did not realise that. And Jeff Goldblum... I guess the thing is, Jeff Goldblum wouldn't have been that big at that point. He would have been like, he'd maybe have done The Fly and stuff like that. Because I'm looking at the names and I'm thinking, dear God, it almost like sounds like, you know, the day to day, all these amazing comedians coming together in one TV show. I think it must have been like that because you couldn't have afforded those people in the 90s. It must have just been lucky about finding talent before they became incredibly pricey.
I can't wait to hear what you've got to think about it. What you think about it?
I don't even know what the plot is.
No, don't know anything about it. Well, David, thank you so much for this week.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for your time.
Great. Hope you have a lovely movie week ahead of you. I can't do next week.
Goodness me.
Let's see. I might be able to do it from the hotel. Because I'm doing promo for my film.
I know. I mean, quite amazing. And it would be a hotel room from Los Angeles.
No, I'm in London next.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
That would be impressive from London.
If I can, exactly, live from London.
Live from London, for crying out loud.
Well, if I can do it, from London, from the hotel room.
Oh, I'll be
room.
Up for that, definitely. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Bits of a press junket for your own movie, for crying out loud. The
which
reality.
You're in, which you're in as well.
Good. Now, I've got an international movie.
You're going to be in Hollywood next week on the screen.
So, do you know what? I got a slight butterfly in my stomach.
Fuck! You're going to be.
It's crazy, isn't it?
On a big screen in Hollywood next week.
Do you know you can't choose things that give you a bit of an electric shock up the spine? It's like, I had a bit of a biological reaction to that thought. Quite bizarre. Yeah, the idea of my face appearing on screens around America with palm trees outside and execs in their Armani suits, and there's my pale quiff looking down at them.
What if they watch the film and go, do you know what? I couldn't give a fuck about this film, but who's that guy?
You know, I think there'd be a part of my brain, a very small part, would think, finally.
Yeah.
Clarity.
Finally, the world's woken up.
The rest of my brain would be thinking, Dave, no, this is a trap. They're going to try and just steal and track your organs. This is a cult. This is Scientology. But there'd be a little whisper in my ear thinking, no, go with it, mate.
You deserve it, fella. You deserve it.
It's like a showbiz version of The Matrix.
I wouldn't want you to have success like that in Hollywood. It's too much. I don't want you on billboards. I mean, it's got nothing to do with me. It's your life.
No, it's good that you're looking out for me, you know, just in case.
The idea of you on a billboard. Do you want to be on a massive billboard?
It depends if the reviews are good and it goes places. I know what you mean, though. Do you want to see a giant version?
What if you're in a new
billboard?
Film called Colonel Twonky and you're Colonel Twonky?
It depends if that Colonel Twonky's linked to Oscars.
Yeah, what if it's like a massive hit and you're all over
it? I'm the Colonel.
Yeah, you're Colonel Twonky. What would Colonel Twonky sound like?
He would be a proper American like that. Don't you give me any of that to Twonky, for crying out loud. I'm a Colonel. I'm going to take things Twonky 2000. He'd have a real kind of can-do Twonky attitude. But you know what? There's a part of me that's already thinking, what would the sequel to Colonel Twonky be? Is it a franchise? Could it be a trilogy?
I feel like Burt Reynolds would have played Colonel Twonky.
Oh, God, yes. You can imagine him turning up in a convertible. And everyone at the beginning of the film will be wondering where Twonky is. Have you seen Twonky? Where's Twonky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell of a film. Anyway.
Oh, it would be, wouldn't it?
Thank you very much, David.
No, thanks for your time. Thanks for having a chat. Fills the day with a lot of glee.
I'll see you next week. Cheers.
Take care. Look after yourself.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.